Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Very good, very good. How's everybody this morning?
Great.
Doing okay?
Yeah.
I'm doing well because we were checking the weather kind of all weekend and just kind of watching that little rain cloud that's sitting there. Hey, Al, you just may want to mute some of these other mics, those first couple ones there. Create a little less feedback. But we were watching that rain cloud there and just kind of watching it and kept praying, like just kept pushing out. And then we wake up this morning and look at the day, right? Isn't it awesome? So good. 81 degrees in the low country. I'll take it any day, right? And no bugs out there. So I gotta celebrate that fact. Well, we are honored, and it's a complete privilege that you would be here this morning. We not only get to have service, but we also have our Fall Fest outside. And we have some of the best chili out there that I need you guys to judge on. And if you look at the Bulldogs, go Dogs, yes, in that little pot there, that's mine. So just no bias. If you want to judge, whichever way, that's fine. Just let me know. But my name is Daniel Kasnave, and we're in the middle, smack dab middle of a series. We're studying through the book of James. And the book of James, I like to say, he doesn't play around. He's straight to the point. And we learned in the first chapter of James, the reason he writes like this is because he is writing to a group of people who are being persecuted, who are being really just torn down, and they need some help, and they need it now. And so he's just feeding them truth, feeding them wisdom, feeding them like, here, take this. He doesn't have time for any of the extra because these people are being whipped, they're being chained up, all these different things because of their faith. They're being outcast by their families, and so they need the story and truth of James. And so today we're going to be in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, it's going to be on the screen for you as well. And then we're going to be in a couple other verses there, but we'll help you stay on track through that. But before we dive in, I just want to pray for us and ask God to speak this morning. Speak through me and just for God to open up our hearts for His Word and for His truth. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the weather. Thank you for each and every person that's here this morning, God. I know that life can be crazy and hectic, and it seems sometimes that Sunday morning is double that. And I just, God, I'm thankful that we can come together as a family, as a church, as a local body, and just say, hey, we're here for each other. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to what your word has for us, God. And I pray that even if it pushes against our normal way of life, but yet we can look at it and say, God, you created us. And I pray that you open our minds and heart and say, yes, I want to follow the ways in which you created me, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. I pray the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
So you guys know, if you know me, it's okay to talk back to me. If you want to say, hey, I like that, amen, very good, whatever you want to do, I don't want you to fall asleep, and I want to feel like you're with me on this, okay? So don't feel out of the norm if you want to do that. That's okay. But we're in James chapter 3, and I believe, this is not an exaggeration, what we're talking about today, it is one of these pivotal pieces of truth, one of these ways of life that if we just apply what we are learning today, I believe we can see complete transformation in our lives and in the lives of the people that are around us. I was telling the group earlier today that as we were praying, I was starting in James chapter 3, like, I don't know if I can get a whole message out of this. And then I started studying and working through it. It's like, we need a whole series on this. Because he's talking about something that is so powerful. And yet, what we may look at it and say, well, that's just a small thing. But as we read this, we see it can lead to bigger and bigger implications. I remember one of the first times we brought a puppy home for the first time. Anybody experienced that before? Like bringing a puppy home for the first time? You're like, this is going to be easy. He's so cute. This is awesome, right? And then that one day you come home and this cute little bitty tiny thing. We got a miniature dachshund. Don't judge me, okay? This is my man dog. But like this little dog, right? And all of a sudden you come home and they completely destroyed like the living room, right? Or completely destroyed a pillow. Or what sometimes we our old dog used to do, take the toilet paper roll and just like it was field day, just all over the house, everywhere. And you're like, are you kidding me right now? Like how can such a small thing create so much destruction, right? Oh, I remember the first time driving home with our first kid in the car. And I like to drive and I like to get places quickly, okay? I'm like, ready, let's go. I drive the speed limit just a little bit over, right? But when I got that baby in the car for the first time, everything changed, right? Like, I'm in the car, I'm like 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, like looking at people driving past me, going the speed limit, like, slow down, you know who's in here, right? Like, I'm creeping over speed bumps just because I don't want to, like, shake the baby up too much. But this one small, tiny human changed everything about my life. Everything about, now my parents are like, oh, hey, Daniel, where's the kids, right? Like, changed everything about the way we do things in life. And James sets us up the same way. In James chapter 3, he says, there is something that I want to show you that yet it is so small, but it has the potency, it has the ability to change everything in our way of life. And so we're going to look here in James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. You guys with me?
Amen.
Amen. Very good. Verse 1. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James is setting this up. And if you remember, Pastor Jason spoke last week, and he says that faith without works is dead, and that our works are the fruit of our faith. And we can look at our works to point back to the evidence of, hey, that we have faith. And then James builds off this, and he says, okay, now we're going to be talking something a little different. And he says, I want you to understand that not everybody, like when you begin to teach God's word, it becomes a different standard on your life. And I remember when I first got into ministry and teaching, I read this verse and honestly I had to step back for a second and go, wow, like this is a big responsibility. And anytime somebody comes to me and says, hey, dang, I'm thinking about preaching, I always tell them, go read James 3:1 first. And they come back to me, okay? And so they come and they read that, and then you see that God is saying, hey, because when you teach God's word, you have the power to help lead and shape someone's life by the word of God. And James says, don't skip over this, because if anybody, and I believe it stretches even further than just us as pastors with small group leaders and people who are teaching and guiding people, because he's saying there's so much power and responsibility there that, hey, I want you to understand this weight of responsibility. Then he goes on to verse 2. He says, understanding that, still know that we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships, by example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small tongue and is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And you're like, yeah, glad I came to church, right? Verse 7, we're going to break this down. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapefruit bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James sets it up in a big way. He's saying, hey, something so small, and he brings out this idea, and he says, our tongue has the power to be, he uses two examples first. He says, think about a ship, right? And I've been able, someone on the part-time, been able to help on a sailboat a little bit here, moving to the low country, and the sailboat is pushed, but there's this small little rudder on the back that literally can change the direction of the entire ship. And so James wants us to understand, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that yet our tongue, the words we say, it may seem small, but in fact has the power to direct our entire life. It can affect our entire body, that if the tongue is not in check, that it can produce either evil or it can produce good. And I want to show you this here. This is a great verse in Proverbs 18:21. If you're taking notes on the back of your worship guides there, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That we must understand that James is saying, hey, there is so much power in the words that we say. There is so much that can happen inside of our lives. And I just want to sit here for just a moment and help us to realize that how powerful words can be. Because I think that maybe we've had someone speak life into us before, and how that's encouraged us and how that's filled us up. But I want to look at the shadow of that a little bit, of saying, maybe you had someone inside of your life who did not speak life but spoke death, who spoke hurt, who spoke shame, who spoke condemnation, who spoke whatever gossip about you in your life. And you remember, till to this day, I can remember times and things people have said to me as a boy, and they still linger in the back of my mind. You see, because the enemy loves that. He knew that they spoke that. He would try to bring those back to the surface. Remember what they said about you when you were a kid? It's still true today. Or maybe you grew up and it was maybe even a parent who spoke something into you, and yet it hurt you so deep to the core that it changed a big portion of your life. Or maybe you're still even wrestling with it today, of saying, they said that to me and it's controlled me and changed the way I talk, it's changed the way I interact in relationships with them and with other people. It's eroded my confidence. It's caused me to live a completely different way. I think if we look at that, even on the negative side of saying, why does that have so much power over us? And God is saying, when he invites you and I into a relationship with him, when he speaks of the abundant life, he's saying, hey, I'm setting you free from sin, even the sin that maybe somebody spoke over you and changed you to who you are today, or who that still lingers inside of your mind, inside of your heart. He is saying, and when you are set free, I want to set you free from that. But I believe even as a Christian, we can still carry on some of that weight, can't we? And God is saying, hey, I want you to understand, if you will bring that to me, I will heal that part as well. I will heal what they said, and I will replace with what they said with what I say. I will replace the hurt that they shared on you and your heart and your mind, and I will replace that with God's word, which brings healing, which brings truth in that moment. I have a good friend, pastor from our singing church. He uses this phrase a lot, that when you and I need God to heal something, we need to bring it before God. We need to reveal it before him. He already knows, but something happens when you and I go, God, this is what they said about me, and I'm still wrestling with it, and I want to bring it into light, and I'm giving it to you. And when we give that to God, he begins to heal that in our life. And it may not be in a moment, in an instance, but every time it comes back up, God, I give what they said to you, and I need healing because of it. And this is the phrase that he would say, and he still says all the time, that God can't heal what we don't reveal. God can't heal what we don't reveal. And when we reveal it and bring it before God, God says, okay, now your heart is in a posture where I can begin to heal you from what they said. So maybe you came today and you're wrestling through some thoughts and heart and mindsets of what maybe somebody has said to you before. And my prayer is, before you leave today, that God will begin to heal those parts and those pieces of what maybe somebody said. But I want us to understand and see the power that words can have, not only in a positive way, but also in the negative way. And then this is what James is saying here. He is saying, hey, that yes, he paints this picture. I love James. Because he doesn't play around. He says the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell, right? He's like, hey, I'm not playing around. It's like, if we just let it run rampant and let what's in us come out, he's saying the problem is without Christ, what's in us is sin. And when it flows out of us, flows out of our heart, that's what comes out of us. That maybe we may willpower it and wrestle it down for moments and times, but God is saying, hey, I want to change you from the inside out. And then he says this one little piece of scripture here. It says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison, right? We read that and you're like, woo, hope in it, right? Like, but we read that, and what he wants us to realize and to see is that you and I can't do it on our own. We can't wrangle our tongue down, right? And say, I'm going to willpower this thing. I'm never going to say anything else wrong again. I'm never going to curse anyone again. I'm never going to curse God when I'm angry again. This is never going to happen, right? God is saying you cannot do it on your own. You must first be a new creation in Christ. And he's saying when you and I are a new creation in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, we become new in him. When we become new in him, our heart is changed. And he's saying, I'm taking a sinful person and making them new. I am making them whole. And now our hearts are not our own. They are God's. And through the blood of Christ, you and I are set free and healing begins. And out of that healing, now our tongue can be controlled. Our tongue can be yielded, our tongue can be used, our words can be used to speak life, because now life is in us. And God is saying that when we wrestle with that, the only way to do that is fully surrender. And this, if you're taking notes here, is one piece, because as we look at the words we say and the power of the tongue, what is in us will flow out of us. What is in us will flow out of us. He's saying no human being can control it. And so if all there is our own ways and sin in us, that's what's going to flow out. He is saying, but with Christ, there is power. With Christ, there is hope. With Christ, there is power. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now you and I, because we have Christ in us, we have the power to speak the way. We have power to speak the truth. We have power to speak life into people that are around us. And first, I believe, I like to call everybody, like you, we are preachers. We are pastors, okay? If we think about that, not in the context I'm going to lead a church, but I first have to speak to myself, right? I first have to change the dialect that I speak over my own life, because now I'm speaking life into what God has me do. I'm speaking truth into my life. And then as God fills me up, it begins to overflow. And now I become a spring of living water, because the living water, Jesus Christ, is in us. And that's what flows out of us. And we can speak life into those that are around us. And I don't know if you've ever wrestled with this before, but in Matthew 15:18, he breaks it down like this. But things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. He's saying the things that come out of our mouth come from the heart. And anytime, we can be honest with each other, right? We're friends, we're family here. And there are times still when I will say things that are not of God. When anger may get the best of me, and it will flow out of me, but I know, just like as Jason was preaching last week, that our works and our speech is a part of our works, and when that fruit comes out, I must look inward, right? I must look at the root system, look at the tree, and go, hang on a second, what's in me that I keep saying that? Or what's in me about that person that every time I see their name, every time their Facebook picture scrolls up, right, like I get this anger or whatever it is, or this tendency to gossip or to speak ill, or that wells up in me, I need to stop, because that is an indication of something going on inside of our heart. God is saying, I want to heal that from the inside out. May you well up over me, in and through me. I believe that it can be such a powerful healing. I think if we didn't even go any further here, if we just sat right here and said, God, heal us from the words of what somebody else has said. Or maybe God, heal me of the words I've even spoken into my life. Or maybe I've spoken into other people. God, heal that in me first. If we just stop right there, I believe God could do some incredible work that would transform our lives in an incredible way. But God, he continues on here. And he says, hey, not only may we speak and use our words to help create a fire inside of us, but also to reach and help those who are around us. And he paints this picture. And he finishes here in verse 10. It says, out of the same mouth, some praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Come both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. He is saying we must understand that God wants to speak in and through us to change the lives that are around us. And we have a saying here. We call them our bridge code, and they're just little moments and opportunities for us to speak life into each other. And one of them is we walk by faith and not by sight, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe you've heard that before. And I want to give you something else today, that not only do we live by faith and not by sight, but I want us to look here and say that we talk by faith and not by sight. We talk by faith and not by sight. I believe this can be so powerful inside of our lives and so transformational that you and I can wake up every single morning and go, I have power to speak life or death today. I have power to talk by faith and talk by faith in the situation that I'm in right now. And I don't want to sit up here and say, hey, we're doing the name and claim it, blab all, you know, like if I say it, it's going to happen, right? But I do believe there is power in speaking in faith, because it points to our heart. It points to who we believe in. And I may look at my marriage, and at sight, it may look like it's over. But I can step back, and I talk by faith, not by sight. And I know what is in me is a healing Father. And I begin to speak into my own life. I am going to start serving myself. I believe God is going to move in me. And in fact, in moments when our emotions are haywire, we must hold on to the truth and sometimes speak truth when our emotions don't feel it. I don't feel like it right now, but God, I'm talking in faith. You are going to work in this situation. You are going to move. I believe you're going to come through. I'm going to serve. I'm going to walk in your ways because I want to talk by faith. And maybe we have a prodigal kid, right? If you look back at the story of a child who was gone astray, and we're praying and praying and praying, and we step back and say, you know, I'm going to talk by faith. I believe God is going to restore them. I believe God is going to redeem them. I believe God is going to move and work on my behalf because I'm going to talk by faith. I'm going to pray like God is going to move. And I believe it so much. And I'm going to start talking like it. And I believe that's what separates you and I. When we go into work and we start talking by faith, and people are going, what are you talking about? That's not going to happen. Like, it's not even lined up yet. That's why I love visions that God gives us. You see, we believe that God has called us not just to love on our, just Bluffton, but the entire Low Country. And we're not just praying for a building. We're praying for a command center where every single person in the Low Country can come and like, oh yeah, the Bridge Church has service there on Sunday. But I also believe that it can be a place where people come get food, where people can get healthcare advice, people can come and get classes on how to restore as a youth. Maybe they got in trouble with the law. How do we help them get past that? How do we get past drug addiction? How do we help our community and add value where we are? And we're sitting here at USCB, right, where we must talk by faith of what we hope the preferred future may be. When God moves, I believe it so much that I'm going to start talking like it. I'm going to start living into it by faith that my words begin to express what is in me. And that's why you hear us say there's 101,000 people who don't know Christ, and we want to see every single one of them know Christ. Because I'm speaking in faith. Because I believe God put it in me. And he's saying, I want to get it through you. And when we get to work, we can speak life into people. And One of the things that are hard for me, I'm a natural, like, optimistic person and futuristic kind of thinker, and one of the relationships that I rub with the most are people that are like, you know what, I just don't think this is going to happen. This is just not going to work. This is just, and we need both, right? Like, we need a little balance there. But there are times for us to stop and say, well, let's speak life into this just for a few moments. Let's just speak hope and peace in the middle of this chaos, in the middle of this trial, in the middle of this tragedy. I believe in our country, we as Christians have a moment where you and I can rise above the surface and everybody's trying to create division. We talk by faith, right? No. That's my brother and sister in Christ. We are united in this. We are coming together in this. I believe God will have the last say, right? I believe that God is still sovereign. He still sits on the throne. And anything that we experience, God is still in control, and I can trust Him and His will. I can trust Him if I walk in His ways, and you and I have the opportunity to talk and to speak and to live into that because we get to talk by faith, and there's power in it. So I challenge all of us to look at our lives and go, God, where do I need to talk by faith? Where have I begin to get negative, or where have I started believing in the lies, or where do I think something is over? And God, where do I need to begin to speak faith and life into? And it may be looking in the mirror and saying, I gotta start speaking life into me. Because I believe each and every person in here, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus, somebody wants to tell you that you are not loved, and you may feel alone here in this moment today. Jesus loves you so much that He left heaven. Beings were created. That's their sole purpose, to fly around Jesus and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord on high. That's what He left, because He loved Daniel Casney. He loved you so much that He left that to die on the cross and to show His power and grace and mercy 3 days later. And raise again and say, I want you to be set free from that way of thinking, set free from that way of talking, set free and to receive life and to receive hope. And you and I get to live into that and get to talk into that every single day. And so as we hear the lies of, I'm alone, I can't do this, God is saying, I want you to speak in faith. God, you are with me. There are moments, I'm one of those crazy people, you know, like I'm in Walmart, and I think the enemy just starts attacking me, like, you can't do this. You're alone. You don't have enough. Or my emotions are saying, I'm too tired. I can't do this right now. Like, my mental capacity is gone. So I'm walking in Walmart, and I'm talking by faith. I'm speaking Joshua 1:8. It's like my favorite verse. I am strong. I just got my car. I'm courageous. People are crazy. I'm strong. I'm courageous. God, I know, because you are with me. You carry me. You hold me. You told me to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because you are with me. And because you are with me, God, I have strength. I have power to do it. And we begin to talk by faith. And it has to start with us first, okay? And that when we start to speak life into us, we see transformation happen in our heart and in our life. We go, wow, this really works. And the next time I'm with my friend and I hear them talking, and all of a sudden when you start talking about faith, you'll start noticing all the people that aren't, or a situation when they're not, and you're like, whoo, let me just speak a little life into you right now. I heard you talking like this, and this, let me just, I can just speak some hope and life into this situation. We're going to start praying together about this. I'm with you in this. And all of a sudden we're speaking life into what God wants to do inside of our hearts. If you take notes, here's another quick thing. Y'all got me excited. I gotta wrap up. It says, our words play a vital role in the direction of our life. Our words play a vital role in the direction of our life. James sets it up in the beginning of chapter 3. He says, just like a horse, you have a bit in his mouth, and that small bit in his mouth controls the direction. He says, think about a ship who has a small rudder. That small rudder determines the direction, and he uses that and compares it. Says the tongue is a vital role in determining the direction into our life. And God is saying, begin to think through of saying words are not just words. You know, science, I read this last night. Most scientists believe that once a sound wave hits the atmosphere, that it continues going on forever. And if we have powerful enough instruments, they believe that you could go years from now and pull those sound waves back in. We just don't have the technology for it. To think and imagine our words have that much power, that God created it. I love it because God created it that way. And saying, hey, I've given you a tool to share my glory. I've given you a tool to share life and to share hope. And this is always, if you come often, you know that, oh, God, what do you want me to say? And I believe that God is saying that there is power inside of our life and inside of what God is already doing inside of our hearts. And once God has changed our heart, he wants us to share what he has done inside of our hearts, inside of our lives. And I believe that our story, our testimony has the power to change someone's life. Because our story, the reason it has power, because when we come to know Christ, it is his story now. Now we're not just sharing the story of Daniel Kesley. I'm now sharing the story of how Jesus intervened. And this is one example of how he intervened into humankind and the human race. And he redeemed me. He changed me. He made me new. And I get to share not only my story, but I'm pointing people to his story. And I'll read you this last verse here in Revelation 12:11. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God is saying, as we look at our life, and if we feel defeated, we feel hurt, God is saying, hey, the way that you look back at the early church and look at his disciples, he's saying, they triumphed because of the blood of the Lamb, because of Jesus Christ and the power in us, and the power of their testimony. If you're taking notes, your story has power because it tells his story. That you and I have the ability to look back and go, you know what? When I go home today, I'm going to at least write my story out of how God has changed my life, how he has intervened in my life. Right? I want to tell my kids my story. I want to tell somebody at work my story of how God has moved and worked in my life. And we begin to talk in faith, right? Because we have to believe in faith of what God has already done inside of us. And when we speak that, God begins to move and we experience this triumph inside of our lives because we're believing in Christ and the power of their testimony. I think that in the church world today, I've even said this, okay, so don't hold this against me. I'm not even saying this is wrong, okay? I've preached this from stage, where people have said, share the gospel and use words when necessary. I believe that. I really do, my whole heart. But there is a moment in time where God is saying, I want you to believe me so much that you're willing to speak it too. I want you to believe in me so much that you let those words flow. And when you do that, you experience triumph like you've never done before. I believe it with everything and every ounce of my being. And it starts first just with us and saying, how can I speak life and truth? It may be just picking one verse and saying, I need this verse in my life. I need God to speak into this situation. And I read that verse out loud. I speak this verse. I pray this verse over my life and what God needs. I need God for in this moment, or maybe I'm praying for somebody else or speaking life into them. Sometimes for me, I'm like, my words are not enough, so I'm looking for scripture to speak into somebody. I'm looking for his word, his power, his truth, because that's where the power and the authority is, and you and I get to talk by faith in what God is already doing. And my prayer is that you and I would surrender to that and believe in what God is doing here on this earth. That you and I say, you know, I believe it so much, I'm going to start sharing my story. Because it's not just my story. It's his story. Because he's moved inside of me, inside of my life, inside of my heart. If everybody in this room said, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to start talking by faith. I believe that the Lowcountry would never be the same. Never. For eternity, we will see God move through our words in this community just by the number that is in this room. I believe God will use that to triumph over the hurt, over the anger, over everything here in this community. God is saying, I've sent you for that purpose. And when you do that, you experience triumph, you experience hope running through us. And we have to say, God, do I want to be the one that is breathing fire or hurt? God, I want to have the living water flowing through me. And I believe each and every one of us, we can't do it on our own, but it's through the power of Christ in us. And so I want to pray. The band's going to come back up. They're going to sing one last song. But I have a twofold response, so to speak. One is, as James says in James chapter 3, he says that we don't have the power to tame the tongue. And he points us back to Jesus. And he says, and God's word teaches us that Jesus has the power to do that. And so if you and I have never surrendered our life to Christ before, that's where we start. That's where we put our faith first. Because without Christ, we don't have the power that is living in us. And God is saying, I want first and foremost to have a relationship with you. I love you first. And then we'll see the works come later. Then we'll see the hope come later. And so God is asking, what do you want to do inside of your own heart? And so I just want to pray for us and ask God to say, hey, maybe that's my step today. Is that I need to first give my life to Christ. So let's pray together. And maybe you want to pray to God, maybe for the first time. And you're saying, I need to start here. I need to give my life to Christ. The Bible says if we confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. You can pray a prayer just something like this. Say, Heavenly Father, God, I give you my life. I know that I have hurt and sin in my life, God, and I give that to you. God, I ask that you would save me and change me forever. God, help me to live out your ways. I love to challenge you guys. Everybody's still praying. If you pray that prayer today, just on the count of three, just shoot your hand up. I want to pray for you. 1, 2, 3 is the day I'll pray that prayer today. I'm giving my life to Christ today. I want you to pray for me. Pray for me in this moment. So as everybody looks back up at me right now in these moments, I want to pray for us one more time. But I want to take a moment during this last song, because I believe there's power in God's word. And when we pray faith and we speak faith into each other, that God begins to move inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. And maybe you don't feel like this morning you have the faith, or maybe, hey, I just need somebody else to pray over a particular situation, pray over this thing that's more in my life. Or maybe you don't have those pressing things, but you're saying, hey, God, I want you more inside of my life. I want you more inside of my heart. We're going to take a few moments. We have a couple people I'll be hanging out up front. We'll have a couple people on the side as well. And during this song, if you want somebody to pray for you, pray over you, whatever that could be, son, your marriage, a working space, or just in general, God, I just need you to move inside of my life and heart. We want to give you that opportunity because we believe there's power in it. We believe it so much. We want to speak faith into that. We want to speak faith into each and every one of our lives and hearts here today. So after I get done praying, they start the songs. Feel free, if you want to receive prayer, just anybody that's available here on the sides or up front to pray over that during those moments. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, your power. God, thank you for giving us freedom, giving us hope, giving us life, God. And I pray that we leave today and say, you know what? I kind of begin to speak in faith, talk by faith. Guide my words, God. Speak truth over us. I pray that we experience the power of you living in us. And as we speak to God, we speak what your word says. We breathe life into our situation. We breathe life into each and every relationship. We breathe life into this community, God. And I pray that it first does a work in us. And I pray that you would work through our hearts, God. We love you. We trust you so much. We believe that you can do a mighty work. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.